It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. In Afghan politics, the past is never really the past. This week, a potent political figure explored peace talks with President Hamid Karzai's government. His name is Gulbuddin Hekmatyar. He was a fierce anti-Soviet fighter turned prime minister before the Taliban turned, in recent years, insurgent leader. Throughout, Hekmatyar has had a fearsome reputation. If a peace deal is struck, his militant group would formally stop battling NATO and Afghan forces. And that could strengthen the hand of Hekmatyar's political party, which he founded decades ago. But even his allies question his motives for coming forward now, as we hear from NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson.
Afghan schoolboys fidget in line as a classmate recites an Islamic prayer outside their madrasa or religious school here in the city of Pulukhumri. Headmaster Abdullah Nahsatyar shoots them a patient smile. He says young people like these are helping strengthen the Hizb Islami, or Party of Islam movement in Baghlan, a fertile farming province north of Kabul, a province where party members or sympathizers already dominate local government posts. The political party shares its name and roots with a militant group that is also active here and elsewhere in northern and eastern Afghanistan. Its fighters answer to the party's former leader, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, who is believed to be hiding near the Pakistani town of Peshawar. Some here in Afghanistan liken the Hizb Islami political wing to Sinn Féin during the war in Northern Ireland. Like Sinn Féin, Hizb Islami party members claim they have no ties to any militants. That'll change, Nahsatyar says, if Hekmatyar agrees to end his war against the Afghan government and coalition forces. Hekmatyar's envoys are in Kabul, shopping around a 15-point peace plan, a move Nahsatyar says he supports. The envoys have already met with President Karzai and other Afghan and UN officials.
I'm optimistic that these negotiations will bear fruit. If they are successful, it will improve the security situation across Afghanistan.
In Kabul, many Afghans don't share his optimism. Harun Mir heads the Afghanistan Center for Research and Policy Studies. For one, Mir says, Hekmatyar may not have as much control over his fighters as he once did, given that first the Soviets, then the Taliban, and now the NATO-led coalition have whittled away at his power and his militant group.
The difficulty would be that probably Al-Qaeda and Taliban might recruit among Hizb Islami sympathizers, even though Hekmatyar might join in a peace solution with Kabul.
Such side-switching is already happening, like here in Baghlan, where Hizb Islami and Taliban militants battled earlier this month. Squabbles over weapons, turf, and who got to tax farmers sparked several days of firefights between the two factions. Mohammed Dayan was among dozens of Hizb Islami fighters who subsequently surrendered to government forces.
We ran out of ammunition. At the same time, the Taliban received reinforcements, so we split up. Some of us were killed or wounded. Some of us joined with the Taliban, and the rest surrendered to the government.
Interviewed at a gas station, the former Hizb Islami commander who led 30 fighters says he's offered to join Afghanistan's security forces. The government has yet to take him up on his offer. Asked if joining the Afghan government meant years of fighting had been meaningless, Dayan responds, jihad is never a waste of time. That's not the kind of reconciliation talk Afghanistan's Western partners likely want to hear. U.S. Admiral Mike Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said yesterday on a trip to Kabul that it's too soon for a political deal with the Taliban. He said NATO and Afghan government forces need to make more gains on the battlefield to ensure negotiations are fruitful. Yet he and other U.S. officials have said little about the Afghan government's ongoing talks with envoys sent by Hekmatyar, whom the United States backed when he fought against the Soviets in the 1980s. In the past, however, U.S. officials have expressed reservations about him being removed from a United Nations blacklist. That's in part because his fighters have brutally attacked coalition forces during the eight-year-old insurgency in Afghanistan, including one assault on French troops in 2008 in Sorobi, a district east of Kabul. 10 French troops were brutally killed in that attack. So why is the insurgent leader looking to make peace now? In Bahlan province, Hezbollah Islami leader Nahsatiar says he suspects that Hekmatyar is hoping to be swept into office by the party faithful. But Candace Rondeau, the Kabul-based senior Afghanistan analyst for the International Crisis Group, believes his plans are more subtle. She says Hekmatyar wants off the blacklist and that afterward he will quietly plot his return to power.
Does that mean that we'll see him marching into Kabul tomorrow? I don't really think so. I think a more likely deal to be made is that he goes on vacation somewhere in a nice faraway island in perhaps the Emirates or somewhere else, and somebody else comes to take his place.
Daoud Sultanzoy, an Afghan lawmaker who met with Hekmatyar's delegation several times, says the envoys he sent appear much more flexible than in the past.
It's not the same type of Hizb Islami that I was meeting during the Jihad era. These people were very rigid in those days, but I didn't see that in them this time. They're broken.
Sultanzoy, who was a college classmate of Hekmatyar's, says the wording of the peace proposal leads him to believe the insurgent leader is willing to at least discuss some of the plan's more controversial points. Proposals like a six-month timetable for foreign troops to leave Afghanistan, or that a caretaker government take over until a parliamentary and presidential election can be held.
So these are indications to me that Islam or Flikti wants to separate himself from the Taliban's rigid position. And if that shows pragmatism or flexibility, then that's an advantage for them versus the Taliban, in my opinion.
The Taliban, meanwhile, has expressed reservations about his proposal. In a statement emailed to reporters last week, it warned Afghans not to, quote, fall into the trap. But analyst and former Taliban official Wahid Mujda says most of the demands in Hekmatyar's proposal are the same as the Taliban's. Hekmatyar's plan is expected to be discussed at a much-touted peace jirga, or council, that Karzai is hosting for local leaders and tribal elders from across Afghanistan at the end of April. Saraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News.
While Hekmatyar's peace proposal was being floated, President Karzai had other matters to deal with this week. The first was the surprise visit by President Obama. He brought a stern message: the Afghan leader needs to crack down on corruption in his country. That was followed almost immediately by a visit from Admiral Mike Mullen. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff echoed the president's call for a cleanup. And Admiral Mullen said, key to that effort will be Kandahar, the Taliban stronghold in the southern part of Afghanistan.
Kandahar is the province run by Karzai's half-brother, Ahmed Wali Karzai, who's long been accused of corruption and benefiting from the drug trade. Now that NATO and the Afghan army are readying for a major offensive there, the Taliban have responded by turning Kandahar into their own version of a battlefield. They've launched a series of suicide bombings and assassinations, throwing the city into a state of fear. 30,000 more American troops are being deployed in Kandahar province this year. Many have already arrived, and the next major phase of the war is expected to begin in the early summer.